Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. I have the super gorgeous Sophie Van Tiegelen with me this morning, all the way from Colorado, and evening for her, morning for me. It's wonderful. We can have conversations with everyone around the world. Now, Sophie is a course creation expert, and her mission is to help solopreneurs build and launch their courses better and faster, even if they're not tech savvy. So I know that's sort of a lot of people will be thinking, well, that's where I fit. Her goal is to make course creation processes as easy and painless as possible so they can launch faster, but build authority in your niche and scale your business with high quality program that delivers real results. She works closely with you to create digital courses that suit your unique needs and vision. And we're going to learn a little bit more about Sophie and how she got into that. But welcome, Sophie. I'm so glad that you could be on with me this morning, this evening, wherever we are in the world.
Thank you so much for having me on, Janine. And I love your introduction. If I was not an online course expert, I would be sold.
Awesome. It's one of those things, isn't it? You know, I have people obviously send me their introductions to do, but it's because we've spoken, I've got to know you and I understand what you're doing and how you're helping people do it. And I'm going to come back to your story in a moment, but what have you seen about people wanting to create online courses that's changed, you know, in the last few years? Has it ramped up? What's been happening?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. And, you know, with the pandemic, online courses were already there before the pandemic. You had big influencers who were selling big signature courses. That's what we were seeing before. But then the pandemic happened and everybody was scrambling, like especially the people who had one-on-one coaching or who were seeing clients. Everything had to go and switch online. And so how could you deliver your skills, your knowledge by building a course? So really, since the pandemic, it has exploded, especially during. Now it's slowing down a little bit. It's not as fast, but they are here to stay, absolutely.
And I think it's what we've recognized, and we're having a conversation, you know, continents apart. And I think that's what people recognize, isn't it, with the online course that can be delivered anywhere in the world. You know, as long as someone understands the language, and probably with AI, we can transcribe it into a different language as well.
You know, it's funny because I was exchanging messages with someone on LinkedIn this morning. We were talking about the advance of AI, and we were wondering if soon we are going to see AI teachers that would deliver the online courses and what it would look like.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. I had someone say to me the other day, at least what you do, you'll never be taken over with AI, because it's, you know, especially when I'm teaching speaking and I'm talking about how, you know, a pause on a particular word to give it emphasis, that type of thing. But the content of it, rather than, you know, necessarily having to record your own voice and deliver it, it quite possibly can be done by, it's moving very, very fast, Sophie, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And on all-inclusive, I call them all-inclusive platforms where, you know, you can host your course and sell your course and have a podcast and have a community. So it's the type of area where you don't have to leave the resort. Now we are seeing AI-assisted course creation, outline for course creation. So you enter your topic and what you want to teach, your teaching objectives, and the AI gives you an outline.
Yeah, it's that it's very, very handy, and I'm admit I'm using it. I'm part of a public speaking group, and last night I was the compere, and our theme was pets. And at the last moment, I've put in a thing said, "Give me a list of 15 unusual pets and what I need to know about them." So within seconds, I had this list of 15 unusual pets, which included snakes and tarantulas and hermit crabs and a little bit about them. So as a compere, I was then able to segue between the speakers and their pets as well. I mean, it was just instantaneous, truly. If I had Googled it, I would have been still sitting here trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it's a great tool.
It is a great tool. But the thing I'm seeing is sometimes it doesn't sound like you, and it's your voice that's delivering it, isn't it? And even when I said, you know, that we talked about somebody else speaking it, like AI teaching it, it's not you. And I think, you know, as a person that teaches branding about you being the brand, I think it loses something. It really does. I think people still really want to connect with people because there's so much else going on. So, yeah.
More than ever. Like, it's ironic to me. On one side, you see everything is going online. Everybody's working online or remote or hybrid. Mm-hmm. And yet we are craving the human connection in online courses. I'm talking for online courses. So it's really now a balance, like how to make both happen.
Yeah. And that's your expertise, is getting that balance there, isn't it? So that I love the idea that everything's set up on the one platform, especially when people don't know how to establish that. But also it brings people to it. It's all part of, you know, that whole branding space, that if it's in one spot, but enabling people to get what they know and deliver it in a different format. Because there's, you know, once you've been in an industry for quite a while, we build up that experience, that knowledge, and to be able to share that.
So yes to all inclusive. And by the way, some people might be put off at the beginning with the price of such a platform. Like, it runs around $150 US dollars per month. But I've made the comparison before I started using that platform for myself. I'm talking about Kajabi. I made the comparison. So if you had to go and sign up for an email provider, go and sign up for your funnels, go and sign up for this and that, when you addition all of them, when you add them all together, it's at least the same price, if not more expensive. And you have the added trouble of having to make all these pieces talk to each other. Mm. And stuff can happen. And then there you go. You spend your time trying to fix something when you could be doing something else, where your zone of genius is, actually.
I love that zone of genius. And that's a really good point about costings. I know, you know, if you're getting, you know, because I have different platforms that I work through, and you're getting a monthly bill and it doesn't seem like it's that much, but then you add it up with the others. It's really smart thinking, especially when people are setting things up. You know, that's the time to make the good decisions. It's yes. Really hard, you know, once you've got 1,500 people in a database, it's and all everything's set up from the past that you've used and every email that you've sent out. It's really hard to have the motivation to change. And mm-hmm. And I know that's the space I've been sitting in, going, I've got other platforms that I can use, but it's just that factor of the workload to change it. All right, Sophie, tell us about you. How did you get into this? You obviously don't have an American accent, and so tell us how did you end up in Colorado?
I'm not I was not born in Colorado. Let's just say that way. I was born in Belgium. And then over 20 years ago, we moved out to the United States, and particularly to Colorado, because we love the mountains. I love hiking. I love nature. And you know this, like we share that, our love of nature. Yeah. And I love nothing more than just to go in the mountains and hike. And I find it so grounding and relaxing. And so did you ask me how did I get into
So, yeah, what was the, you know, the promoted that move to? Now, I'm always fascinated when people move countries. It's you know, being an Australian, a lot of people move to Australia. It's one of those countries, and you know, a few move away, but not many. And I'm always love having conversations with people when they come to Australia and set themselves up. So it's the same with the US. I think both those countries are the, and I'm going to add something here. Those two countries are the least racist of any country, because there's every nation in the world has the opportunity to shift, move there and be welcomed, that way, which doesn't happen in a lot of other countries and locations around the world. But that's just my opinion on that. We're off track now. What got you? But it is, it's fascinating as to why people move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I feel like I'm a pioneer, because, you know, we sold everything we had. And we just put all the rest of our belongings in the back of a truck, you know, a container. We put that on a boat and off we went. Like, yeah, the spirit of pioneers.
Is it?
Modern pioneers.
So why, yeah, so why the US? What was it family, or there was anything that here, there that made you?
Well, my partner at the time was a US citizen.
Okay.
And then we just love the Colorado Mountains, the Rockies.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have visited the Rockies before. It's just fantastic. It's beautiful.
No, I had a cousin that moved to Colorado, lives in Colorado, actually. But no, never. I've been to a lot of the U.S. states, but I've been to other areas through Nevada and areas that have, you know, got beautiful. So I and, of course, you've seen them on movies. I mean, they've shown it all the time. But, yes, it looks amazing. So, okay, see, and I know when we were talking that you said you originally started out as a lawyer as well.
Yeah, and you know what? I've always felt like 3 months ago, I had recently hired, let's start at the beginning, I recently hired a LinkedIn coach to help me revamp my profile and get my act together, because before that I had not really attended to my profile and it was a little bit all over the place. That's how it felt. It felt to me all over the place. And while I was working with this coach, I'm still working with her, it's taking some time, I bought, like, you know, the upper package where I have a lot of attention for a long time.
Yeah.
So I had to go through my past experience, my past work experience, to rewrite everything. And then I discovered actually what is my golden thread. I recognize a golden thread that has been, you know, guiding me all through my career. And it's true that back in Belgium, I was a lawyer. I was practicing family law and probate law. So I was, you know, helping people go through emotional times. And it's also a time where you have to go and fill out a lot of paper. There's a procedure going on. It's not just the grief or, you know, being sad due to your divorce. So I was walking people through the complex procedure. And that's still what I'm doing now. I'm walking people through the process of getting all the information that is right here in your head. And God knows you have a lot of information, you know, all over the place. And how can we make this into something that makes sense, like a course that will provide a transformation to people, that will allow them to get results? So for me, it's walking people through a complex process and making it easier for you so you can accomplish it faster and get to the finish line faster.
Yeah, yeah, and that makes an absolute lot of sense. I love that terminology, a golden thread. I also help clients with their LinkedIn profile, not to do all their marketing and everything on LinkedIn, but to get a profile that people can find and it resonates with them. And that's the important factor, is what is it about you that people can attach to, not a position you've had. And that makes, unless you're looking for a job, and then it's a resume. But LinkedIn is for people in their own business. It's a very different space. And being able to tell your story and represent that with what you do is such an important space to be able to do that in. But yeah.
You know, it's so empowering, the work you are doing. And I'm sure you see this happening in your clients. They don't see what they represent and what their own worth. And then when you help them see it, it's like, wow, yes, I'm this badass person. I can do this.
Absolutely. I'm working with a lawyer, coincidentally, at the moment, who's got KPIs and has to, you know, doesn't want to be a ambulance chaser and wants other avenues to do that. And she works with public liability and a particular field that is very topical at the moment in Australia, injuries. And we've helped her just doing some real basic things with LinkedIn. She hasn't got a lot of followers yet. We've got a lot of contacts. We're working on that. She put up a post the other day that had 1,700 impressions on it, because the post was topical. And it was, now everyone can find her, which is very important, because they know exactly what she does. It's not a resume there. And she was just, oh my goodness me. And that post is, you know, something that is really important. The message, the information was very important. It got out there. So not just that we've got 1,700 impressions, it actually had that many people that might change someone's life if they know something about that particular topic. So it does, it makes a big deal when you're clear on how you're helping people and doing it and getting that information out, as you said, information out of someone's head. So someone's doing that for yourself as well, and in the training you're doing for the LinkedIn training, and probably very similar to what you're doing for your clients, getting their information out.
Absolutely. So we are actually building what I call a student success path, right? So it's similar to your course outline. So visual is this. It's like, where is your student right now? Where would you like them to go? What skill would you like them to acquire? And then you trace a line in between these two points and you divide this into milestones. So big events or big skills they need to acquire in order to move along this timeline, their success line. And then that's how we work a lot at the beginning on that. And it's like the thread again. I just love building.
Yeah, and it makes so much sense. And I know I'm working with the group at the moment, and one of the people in the group were talking about how people, there's, you know, three different types of people when it comes to learning. And one is the thinker. They've got lots of great ideas, but can't necessarily, and I see this with with clients. They've got a whole lot of ideas, but not necessarily making any money, because it's not that there's lots of stuff going down and not getting the clarity. And then there's the action takers, you know, the ones that just go, here's action, let's do it, we've got it. And then there's people, and sometimes the people have to translate from the thinkers to the action people in between, and they all have cons and pros for each one of those, and we all are a bit of everything, but we tend to be importantly one and secondary. And it's really interesting because this person I'm working with, he's very much a thinker, and he's got lots of words and lots of things, and he can put the courses together, but it takes a lot of more processing for him, whereas I'm saying, okay, tell me what the course is about. Let me see how we can market it. You know, it's right. What step now? I need to fully understand. No, I don't need that many words. I need to understand in the least amount of words, dot point this out. And Yeah, so it's interesting. Are you finding that it's just when you think about that, is it people who've got lots of ideas and not sure where to go?
You know, it's funny that you told about these personalities because a couple of years back, I took a business course, a 6-month business course on transactional competences. And they were teaching about the personality. So it was to help us, be transact better with others around us. And they had a fourth personality in the course, which were the judges. I don't know if you have met that personality. But so yeah, they had
I think
like
that might be some of the action takers if they become narcissistic.
okay. But yeah, so the thinkers, the inventors, so though I see them, those are the people who have tons of ideas. And the downside is that usually they don't realize how much work it takes to realize those ideas. So they will say, oh, just, a little course, we can do this in a month when it's going to take actually 6 months with the amount of information they have. So, and then the doers, the people who are just doing, sometimes they have their head a little bit too close to what they are doing and they don't see the big picture, the strategy that you are so good at helping people with. And yeah, it's just funny. You have to, take advantage of your strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, recognizing it is such an important factor, isn't it? And when you know that you are, particularly when you are a thinker or an inventor, as you said, you need help to get the apply things. It's just recognizing that that's exactly what you need to do.
Yeah, and then have a plan and then sticking to the plan. Careful with the scope. Let's not add all these things last minute. We stick with the plan. After a while, we have to.
Absolutely. And that's, especially when you've got lots of ideas coming in. It's going, oh, bright shiny object, oh, bright shiny object, and it takes you off scope, doesn't it?
Scope creep.
Absolutely. And so, just a little bit more about you. So you mentioned when we were having a chat before, the weather wasn't real great in Colorado, and you had daughters, and things that you, I it's raising a family and doing so while building a business and everything. So
Well,
how did, I know you said you were helping people in that with law, but there's still a fair step from there to what you're doing now.
The thing is, I was doing practicing law in Belgium, but when we moved out here, my diplomas were not recognized. And I had three small kids. I had three kids in 4 years. So that was my full-time job for a while there. And I didn't feel like going back to school to do all my, to get a law degree here. And so, raised the kids, and then I was helping my husband in our business because we had an agency. We were helping and still helping US companies sell their products in Europe and vice versa. And after a while, I took some distance from the family business and I became a blogger. I started my online entrepreneur career as a blogger. I was a food and lifestyle blogger over 10 years ago. And I published cookbooks and I had a course, I had a membership. And that's how I dipped my toe into the online world. So that's how it happened, actually. And then I started building more and more courses. I started consulting, and here I am today.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's that do it yourself that didn't work, do it yourself that worked, do it yourself that didn't work. And it takes 10 years, as you said, whereas I'm imagining it doesn't take that long when people are working with you.
No, let's not scare
They
your audience.
can use all that expertise and the mistakes made and all of the things that worked out, can't they? And that's what, I ran a webinar the other night on sales, and it was about sales coaching. And that's what I say to people, you can go and do it yourself, But why not just learn how to have the conversation right in the first place? And then you don't have to make all these mistakes and miss all the opportunities with what you're doing. There's so many experts out there in so many fields. Finding the right one is such an important factor, but getting either a mentor or a coach or a trainer, they're all very different in the roles that they play. And then, you know, making sure that you then take action and follow through. That's the other part.
You know, solopreneurs are a special breed. Like they are do-it-yourselfers. Like they can, they take on all the hats. They can pretty much do everything. They can learn everything. And I'm sure that anybody in your audience, if given the time, they could learn everything there is to know about building an online course, but it's the time, right? You don't want to make the same mistakes I made along the way, and you want to do it faster. So the best way is really to invest into hiring a coach, an expert like you, and get it done and then start making money.
And that's a factor. A lot of people, when they first start in business, think that their time is of no value. So they're prepared to put the time in to do things without realizing, you know, that, as you said, working purely in their space of genius. And then if I just spoke to, you know, somebody who wants to get a lot more confident in front of the camera and social media and has an idea for something that she wants to create in the future. And she's very clever. She's in a profession at the moment and then wants to get all this established and understand it so that she can step into it in a period of time rather than just jumping in and seeing what happens. And that's what a lot of people do. I'll just jump in and see what happens. Well, that didn't work. Or they'll invest in the wrong thing without doing the research or finding. And I really, you know, look at reviews. That's the best way to figure out who to work with, and ask people who they've worked with and what they've got out of it and the value that they have. That's such when you're looking for anyone to mentor or coach you, it's mm-hmm. just so important to find it, because I know a lot of people have been burnt with not the right help. But ask questions rather than being sold to, you know, rather being sold on a pitch than ask mm-hmm. questions as to who definitely can help you.
You know, in usually I would recommend, if you're looking for a coach, don't go for the people who promise you to, you know, to make 6-7 figures when you are done creating your first course. It's not happening. If it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. Like those results, okay, they could happen, but it's very unusual. And it's maybe for people who have a whole team around them and who are in the right place at the right time. But usually being successful in whatever you set out to accomplish takes hard work.
Yeah. And look, there's very, very few overnight successes. It's that work involved, but it really pays off when you, I've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in training during my career and coaching and mentoring. And now I'm able to give back. I'm part of a government thing where I help mentor people, and I, you know, able to give information and make it affordable for people to do that. But I've had some of the best coaches along the way that have really been the right person for me at the time. And, you know, I know we've gone off track, but I think this is such an important thing to discuss, Sophie, that it's, you know, for people in that space and wanting to put an online program together. I've seen people spend months and months and still not end up with something that looks professional and that they know how to sell. But that's an important factor as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Although right now I would recommend, like, the trend in online courses, it's more towards smaller courses, like weekenders, mini courses. So you teach something very focused so that people can take your course over the course of a weekend, hence the word the weekender, and they can complete it within 2, 3, 4 hours, and it's quickly done, because people just don't have the bandwidth to invest more time.
Yeah, I like that. That's a great idea, that weekend drive. I've never heard that before.
I don't know if I don't know if I invented the word, because I mean everything has been done and said, but yeah. I like it.
Do you come across people who don't have enough confidence and belief in themselves? You know, they feel like sort of that, who am I to do this?
So the people who are ready to work with me, usually they are past that hurdle. Like they know, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
But I know it. They have to work up to it, because they are afraid, like, do I deserve to be doing this? Like, are people even going to listen to me? Do I deserve to be a thought leader, a teacher? You know, there is this imposter syndrome. And yes, they do have it, but they work through it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think I would imagine that once people see what they've created, that would be a huge thing, you know, that would, that sense of accomplishment as well. It's a big deal, isn't it?
Absolutely. So of course it's just, so it builds up your authority in your niche. Absolutely. It's like a fantastic business card. And then it creates more revenue. But something that is not as often talked about is the huge boost to your ego. And actually, a lot of my clients are women over 45 who have accumulated all this knowledge and those skills, and who can really give back to the community, to give back to the world. And that's when they come to the online course world. And it's so empowering. It's beautiful to see.
I see a lot of people sort of jumping in and writing books. And you know, I know you've written ebooks, and as you said, food and books.
Cookbooks,
well.
Ebooks.
Yeah.
Courses, yes.
And I've written a couple of books, but people write books with a couple of different reasons. One is to get the information out of their heads and down on paper. And the other thing is the expectation of making an income off a book. You can't, unless you're going to be, you know, it's some sort of, unless Oprah Winfrey picks it up and says, you've got to buy this.
Or a Michelle Obama.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Other than that, with a nonfiction book, that's not going to happen. And so it's the same deal as what you're doing. If you put that information in a course instead of a book, then you've got something that you can sell and monetize.
And that you can be proud of.
Yeah.
So this is an aspect I work with my client. Don't just build a course. Build a course that you can be proud of.
Yeah.
It's so important. You know, I'm very much, you know, pro finding your identity, finding, you know, beyond being a mom, being a spouse, being, you know, the one who's making the laundry or dinner. We are much more than this, and we can give much more.
Yes, and most definitely. And the amount of skill and soft skills, particularly, that women have, whether they have been, you know, I mean, we have to do usually both. The you know, taking anything away from men, but usually women are the decision makers in the home. They're the ones that are organizing. The men will do the activities but the women tend to think this needs to be done, needs to get children to school. They parent teacher interviews, all of that, while in either running a business or in a job. So it just sort of, those soft skills learned in those spaces, doing all of that, I don't think we recognize just how important they are.
And we can translate them to, like, in the setting of an online course. So you have, there are different types of online course. So you have the self-paced one. So self-paced, all the content is pre-recorded and you put it on a platform and the student come and buy the course and does the content at their own pace. There is no contact with the teacher. Then there are the live courses, where the teacher and the course creator delivers the content live to the student. And then there are hybrid courses where the students do some of the content by themselves online, and then they have deep dive sessions with the teachers. And I find that women perform really well in those deep dive sessions where you have to guide your student and teach them something and bring them to the realization of, hey, this is working, this is not working. Women are really good at this.
And it's interesting you say that. I have two online training platforms. One is a sales, 7 modules into, from the basics of selling right through to, you know, following up, but how to build an audience, everything. And it is very much you go do it yourself. It's, but I also have another one which combines a whole lot of the things that I put together, speaking, selling, planning, the why, all of that. And it is the deep dive one. So it's part of, here's the module. We'll talk about the module. You go do it, then we'll come back and we'll dive into what your answers were on that, or your responses. And that's been, I'm loving doing that. It's all part of a bigger course. And it's just, it's made both of them quite a different space to.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
They each have a place, right? If you want to just start with a small weekender course that people take at their own space, that's fine. Like a course can stand on its own in your business, or it can be the springboard to many more layers. You can sell the next level and the next level. So you have to look at it also in the perspective of where you want to end up in your career, in your business.
Yes, yeah, definitely. And it does. It gives you opportunity to take it to those next steps. And I'm assuming that, you know, people are going to be learning. And when you do all of this, the technical skills that you learn, you have to learn, really, because that's just part of it as well. It's that expansion on doing that within yourself.
Yeah, are you talking about the tech side?
Yeah, I know. I am. And that's, for me, I can't believe what I can do now that I couldn't do. I had no idea about. And you just go do it now.
Yeah. Well, you don't know what you don't know. But when I hear people saying, ooh, you know, I'm really worried about the tech side of building a course. For me, it's just like if this is building your course, the tech side is just this little piece here. Once all the course is built and you have your content and you know what you're going to say, you have all your exercises, your downloadable, your checklist, everything. Recording your video is just this little part.
Yeah. And that's because it creates that fear factor, and people, you know, do get scared of doing it because not knowing about the steps, and also not knowing if people are going to buy. I remember when I first set up my sales program, I created one module, and then I did a webinar and sold the whole program. And it was right. Okay, all these people bought it now. Now I know that it's of value and that I've made some money. And that's an important factor too, isn't it? To recognize that, maybe not get too carried away until you've got people who want to pay for it.
You know, you've got a very good point, and I can recognize the marketer in you. So when you start working with me on building your online course, the first thing we do is dive into your audience. What are their problems? What are they struggling with? What are their pain points? Mm-hmm. Then what already exists on the market to solve their problems? And then you look for that gap in the middle, like, what is not served, what is not done. And that's where you want to create your course. That's your sweet spot.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense with that, because you want to make sure that there is an audience for it.
Yes, absolutely. And it goes even further than finding the gap. Once you found the gap, and it's exactly what you did, you were very smart, is you validated the idea. So you created the first module and you sold it. You saw that people were actually having a problem and that they were willing to pay to solve that problem. Yeah. So that is another layer of confirmation. But there are different ways to do this validation piece. You can create a workshop like you did, create a small course, like a mini course, that would be just the first step in the bigger course you want to build. Or if you deliver already your content on a one-on-one setting as a coach, you know, people are willing to pay for that. So those are good ways to find out if people will pay money for this.
Yeah, and that's what you do, I think, differently than other people that I've seen help people create courses, is really finding out and making sure they've got an audience first and how to deliver to that audience. That's so important.
But yeah, because I want you to sell your course. Yeah. I'm not just a person who's going to just take your content and put it on a platform and voila. Mm. No, we do a market research and then we build the best curriculum possible together. Mm. I'm really big on the curriculum development and design, you know, which teaching modalities are we going to use and which deliverable are we going to deliver? And then I get you also ready for launch, because once your course is done, then your work of selling it starts, right? How are you going to sell this?
Yes, that's exactly right. It's no use just sitting there. There's nobody coming along. We need to figure out how to do that. I think what we've done, Sophie, is opened up, or you particularly opened up a lot of opportunity for people to think about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And I, again, you know, we've already mentioned just finding the right person to be able to help you do whatever you want to do. And if it's course creation, and you've got Sophie here, and that doesn't matter where you're located, obviously, with the type of thing that you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. We always finish with three takeaway points. So out of everything that we've discussed, three ideas that you want people to remember from the conversation.
So the first one would be that you have the skills. You have a skill, you have solved problems before, you can teach this to people. So you don't need an academic diploma to be building a course. If you know a process, if you know a solution to a problem, you can help people. So that's one. The second one would be to really spend some time validating your course idea. And so, because you are going to invest time and energy and money into building your course, you want to make sure that this is going to pay off. And then the third one is, I can testify that it's a wonderful adventure that is going to open so many doors for you personally and in your business.
It's really interesting when I find people have bought into the course and I check out where they are, and they can be anywhere in the world. They just, you know, invest in it. It's surprising.
You change people's lives. Yes.
Yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? With everything that women who are looking to do courses, or, you know, with their business, have the opportunity to do, is to, whatever it is, change people's lives. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we wrap up?
Ooh, I'm not sure.
Time goes very fast. So how can people get in touch with you, Sophie?
So I'm very active on LinkedIn, Sophie Van Tiggelen, or I have a website, sophievantigelen.com.
And all of those links will be in the show notes. People will mm-hmm. be able to click on those and make contact with you directly. It's also, you know, I haven't put my courses together for such a long time as well. I had them out there before COVID, which was very helpful. It wasn't sort of a rush to get them done, or before lockdowns. But it's prompted me actually changing the way I do things. And as I said, it's part of that deep dive one as well. And that's the thing, is it's continually evolving, isn't it? You've got a course up, it's something that continually evolves.
Absolutely. And I would say, don't fret. Don't try to be perfect. Yeah. Get it out. Because you are going to revise your course. You are going to revamp your videos and, you know, redo your PDFs. It's not set in stone.
Yeah. No, I love that. And yes, and I love that you said it doesn't have to be perfect. One of my clients has got a YouTube channel, and she just makes videos. She just does anything with videos. Now that they've got better and better over time, but she's got 17,000 followers. She just put things out there, and people saw that it was really her.
Is she a perfectionist?
No, not at all. She just
she cranks it out.
She cranks it out, and it's paid off. It's absolutely paid off. So that's I'm glad you finished. We finished on that point. You don't have to be a perfectionist.
No.
Just get the information out there. Yeah, it's wonderful. I've really enjoyed our conversation today. Thank you.
Thank you so much for all your interesting questions. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
I love the opportunity that I have on these podcasts to meet amazing people who are doing amazing things from around the world and being able to share their information with the world as well. Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you.
And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I am Janine Vosper, your host. I trust that you've enjoyed what you've heard today. And remember to subscribe so you don't miss out on the next podcast. If you want to watch it instead of listen, then you can do so on the YouTube channel, Janine Vosper, or on my website. If you are thinking about how you might need some mentoring, coaching, or training, please go to janinevosper.com, book in a session. We can have a discussion and see how, if I can't help you, I have got a list of experts around the world who will be able to, I am sure. I'll direct you to them. Have a wonderful day, week, month, year, whatever you, wherever you are in the world, and enjoy. Bye-bye.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the five most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.